You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn and Rory DeLaghi here to look ahead to Monday's racing. It's the calm before the storm. Only four meetings on Monday ahead of a week of superb action from Royal Ascot. We're going to have a little chat about Royal Ascot shortly. Mr. DeLaghi, you all right?
I'm all right, yeah.
I've seen a lot of you in the last 24 hours.
Yes, you have.
We were on racing radio together yesterday and now we're in the studio adjacent to the Racing Radio studio, talking about Monday's racing. Saturday's racing, there was a lot of it. There was a lot of competitive action, but no superstars.
No. No, it was very competitive stuff. You had those... Muscle was a big day, and we shouldn't do that down at all. But, yeah, it was all about competitive handicaps fundamentally yesterday, which are not the easiest and very, very competitive in big fields at York. But... again, not the easiest to find winners at either.
We've got racing on Monday from Carlisle and Nottingham. Carlisle and Wetherby in the afternoon, Nottingham and Windsor in the evening. And the two clear meetings are Carlisle and Windsor. I gave Mr. DeLaghi free rein to choose four races, and he's chosen races from Carlisle and Windsor. He's corporate to the core. Which is what we like. We'll get to those shortly. Just looking ahead to Royal Ascot, and if you listen to tomorrow's racing podcast, that will be, I believe, myself and Mr. Millman looking ahead to the feature contests on the first day of the Royal meeting. So make sure you join us for that, because there is some fantastic stuff coming your way. Rory DeLaghi, one bet, Royal Ascot. What's it going to be? You're only allowed one.
Okay. I'm going to be very cheeky and go each way then. A horse who will be, I'd say, 25-1 or bigger.
Okay.
On the opening day, there are races I'd like to get stuck into later in the week, but without knowledge of the final fields and the draw, it makes it difficult. Whereas we know exactly what runs in the first day. Mm-hmm. It's terribly difficult stuff. It has to be said. The King Stand 340 is where I shall go for my bet. A race that's dominated by fillies. Mm-hmm. Lady Aurelia, 5-2 favourite. Marsha 7-2. I'd be fairly keen to take Lady Aurelia on this time. This is a very, very different task to what she faced last year.
Why?
Why is it a different task? Why do I want to take her on? Well, she was a 2-year-old filly against 2-year-old fillies last year. She was very well developed, and she was frighteningly good. Mm. But it was basically a speed test for her. She showed later in the season that she wasn't untouchable.
Yeah.
And she was a bit disappointing at Newmarket in her final start. She made an encouraging return, I thought. She was ridden differently. She was ridden off the pace, and she found plenty for pressure. So I thought that that was encouraging for those who want to support her. But she's drawn 18 of 18, which I don't think is an ideal draw. Mm. Whether they want to blaze a trail with her again, I don't know. The fact that they tried different tactics and they were successful last time suggests that they will. They might look to be a bit more conservative. But this is a race. If you look at the results of the King Stand over the years, 5-furlong sprinters tend to develop over time. And a lot of horses who end up being the best over five in races like this, the Prix de la Baille later in the season, are horses who develop very late in life. Mm. Lots of 6-, 7-, 8-year-olds winning those races. In... last year, the race was won by a 4-year-old, and people tend to look at last year's result and dig back through history. But 9 of the 10 previous runnings before 2016, the winner was 5 or older.
Okay.
And the 5 winners immediately before profitable last year were either 6 or 7. So I think people will get a little bit carried away with the 3-year-old and the 4-year-old fillies in this race, and they'll be betting odds on the pair, essentially, and that potentially gives you a bit of value elsewhere. For all, I don't want to be necessarily taking on Lady Aurelia or Marsha, because they could be a cut above.
But yeah.
I think you'll get a bit of each-way value here, and the horse that I like, who's still improving, but people will look at him and say, oh, he's six. So obviously he's fully exposed, is Alpha Delfini, who was well behind Marsha at Newmarket, but was trapped wide that day, probably needed the run anyway, and should come on a chunk for it. He was very progressive last year. And indeed, he runs in the same colours as a brother to a horse called Tangerine Trees, who took a long time to reach his peak. And so he looks in very much the same mould. He also wears a visor for the first time, which will sharpen him up here. And he's drawn reasonably close to Lady Aurelia, so he'll get a toe through the race. It's difficult to argue convincingly that he should be good enough to beat either Marsha or Lady Aurelia. But he's going to be, I reckon, you'll probably get 28-1. On the day. Okay. And you'll probably get a quarter of the odds as well, won't you? So you're getting 7-1 a place. I'm not sure that is at the moment.
Fifth the odds so right fifth now, the, 25.
But, you know, yeah. Things get more competitive close to the time. So you'll be arguably looking at about 7-1 a place for him, and I think that'll represent decent value.
See, it's interesting that you say that, because off-air we were having a conversation, myself and Rory, and I've spent most of my Sunday so far editing a nice little jingles and beds to put together for Royal Ascot. And we've asked a few of our pundits for their best bets, which, incidentally, Rory is going to give me off the back of this. Someone's already had Alpha Delphine.
Really?
Mm.
I can't believe that.
Andrew Mount.
Ah, well.
Let's put Alpha Delphine.
I'd say I'm in reasonably good company then with Mr. Mount. So.
That's interesting.
We don't compare notes, which is a pity. I used to enjoy meeting up with Andrew years ago when we both lived in London. We used to, he was in the southeast and I was in the north, and we'd meet in the middle on a Sunday afternoon for a few pints of Belgian beer.
Lovely.
In a pub called De Hems.
Oh, very nice.
Off Leicester Square. Those days sadly gone now. Mm. So we don't get a chance to compare notes, but I'm delighted that we've landed on the same horse there.
That is very interesting. So take note, listeners. Alpha Delfini in the King's Stand could well be interesting. Right, we'll focus on Monday's racing. As I said, it is a bit calm before the storm. It's not the best racing that we've ever seen. But we'll start at Carlisle with the 3 o'clock. This is a handicap over 6 furlongs. A few last-time out winners here. The likes of Exotic Guest and Uncle Charlie arrived here off the back of successes last time out. Portland Street has been in good nick as well, as has Hee Haw. A few unexposed runners in this lineup does make it quite a tricky one.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like it could be 6 or 7 to 1 the field. It's very open, and there are a few who've caught the eye off late. There's a couple that I looked at here. Gun Case is interesting at some stage, but I'm not convinced he wants 6 furlongs. He didn't look like he wanted it on his return at Newcastle, even though he was well backed. So he's one for a return to 7 at some stage, I think. Although the stiff track will probably help him here. I'm going to go for Uncle Charlie, who finished last on his only start of the track before, and I'm hoping that that shapes his price to some degree. But he looked promising when winning his maiden at Ripon last autumn, and then things didn't go his way on his next couple of starts. The run when he was last here came over 7 furlongs, where he was 2-3 and didn't get home, and he's then shown much improved form to win a handicap at Thirsk over 6 furlongs. Which he won fairly narrowly, but he did it in a very good time, albeit aided by the draw. He's quite well drawn again in 7 here. For me, they will probably stay far side. If the going gets off to Carlisle, they can come across to the stand side rail, but I think they'll stay far side.
The last meeting, they were all over the place. Yeah. Every race was different.
Yes.
Some were down the middle, some were near side, some were far side.
I was
working
for
that. It got very difficult.
Very messy. Yeah. But I think a middle draw should be absolutely fine. Just looking at historical results in these growing conditions, middle draw is probably better than either extreme, unless the ground changes. So he looks like he's ideally suited by this trip. He found plenty of pressure at Thirsk last time out, and I'm prepared to forgive him a moderate run at this track prior to that.
Just one question. What do we know about Paul Collins?
Not an awful lot. He does have he has a runner in the race, doesn't he? Roy's Dream.
And he had a winner on the 3rd of June with Deeker, who was formerly, I think I'm right in saying, with the Griffin team. Yes, he was. Been with Paul Collins for a while now. Just not a name that I'm familiar with,
I have
to say.
No, I know very little. But yeah, he's got Deeker, He's got £20 luck, affectionate lady, and this one, Roy's Dream, who's entered here and also has an entry at Redcar later in the week. So
okay.
Always worth keeping an eye on reasonably new trainers.
Yeah. Okay, then we'll move to Windsor then. We'll take a journey south for the 7:15 handicap coming up over 6 furlongs here. 9 of them set to go to post in this one, and we know plenty about most of these. Some of the ones that we know a little bit less about are probably the more interesting ones here. The likes of King of Spin, who is a 4-year-old, as is Handy Talk. And we've got Bohemian Dollar in there, who was only just second last time out. And I happen to know he's actually owned by, well, mainly John Babb, but also a couple of guys out in our office.
Oh, right, okay.
So best of luck to them with Bohemian Dollar, and went very close last time.
Went very close last time and is going to be the selection here. He ran very well over this course and distance 2 starts ago. He then ran a very, very good second at Salisbury, both times under Catherine Glenister, who rides again. She's improving enormously as a rider. She gets horses going for her, and this horse has run really well. The horse who beat her at Salisbury was well handicapped. The horse that finished third was coming off the back of a win and had napped it as well. Bohemian Dollar battled really gamely to go down by a short head. He's running off the same mark, I believe, of 77. I think he'd be due to go up a pound or two in future races, but if he repeats either of his last 2 runs, I think he wins this. It's a competitive enough looking race on paper, but those 2 runs, as I say, make him look well handicapped off 77. And clearly, Catherine Glenister's £7 claim, she claimed £3 in that that race last time, the Apprentice Contest, means that he really is due a win. I know it's a terrible cliche to say that.
Yeah,
he said 3 seconds this season. And he's done absolutely nothing wrong on any of those occasions, battled really well. So he deserves to get his head in front. He seems to have plenty in his favour, and this is his best chance of winning this year.
Okay, so Bohemian Dollar gets the nods in the Windsor 7:15. The 7:45 is next up, this one over a mile, another handicap coming your way. The only last time out winner in the lineup is Manton Grange for George Baker and James Doyle, but plenty of certainly interesting types towards the bottom, including 3 trained by, well, we've got 4 in the race, 5 in the race even, trained by Jumps trainers, maybe even 6. It's a really tricky one to weigh up because you don't know how many horses are really cut out for a mile, for starters.
Yeah.
And secondly, of those that are they in any form?
Yeah, that's a big question. You've got the likes of, you've got a couple for Brendan Powell who is, you know, he's had 1 or 2 winners recently, but the horses on the whole haven't been running brilliantly for a while. And you want to look for more positive signs from Brendan's horses before backing them. Ogbourne Downs remains in the same colours, but is now running for Ben Pauling, having left Charlie Hills, but he's been off the track since November 2015. Venusius is rarely seen on the track these days, but has a decent strike rate when he does. Better suited by a more undulating track than this. At his best anyway, and was disappointing on his return. And Fit for the Job has not been doing much of late for John Joe.
Not been fit for the job.
Yeah, indeed. Ironically, the veteran Shifting Star is about the most solid proposition in the race. Was unlucky in the run when finishing last of 4 at Brighton last time. I could knock from pillar to post despite that small field. And he's clearly in very good form. He'll be there or thereabouts. But the pick is Manton Grange, the last time out winner. He ran really well when 3rd at Nottingham, 2 starts to go off mark of 75, and showed himself to be leniently treated by winning Dropped and Trip at Leicester last time out. The returns were miles in his favour for me. And he comes from a yard that's beginning to do really well at the moment. George Baker, he moved yards a matter of weeks ago. He's now at the yard that used to be the base of Ollie Stevens, which was owned by Sheikh Fahad. George has bought that and moved his horses there. And he's had a few winners, including one at Leicester last night. And the yard, the horse is really going very well. He's very lightly raced Manton Grange and beginning to get his act together now. He only broke his maiden last time out, but he did it in very good style and in an extremely quick time for the grade. And he looks ahead of his mark on a mark of 80. And the fact that Shifting Star looks the biggest danger tells you plenty about the quality of opposition.
Yeah. Okay, so Manton Grange gets the nod in the Windsor 7.45. And the final race we're going to focus on is the 8.45 from Windsor. It's a handicap over a mile and 2 furlongs. And it is very difficult. I don't like this one, Rory.
Don't you?
No.
Well, I'm hoping it's not as open as it looks on paper. I napped one of these last time out, which was beaten, but I thought ran extremely well and on a different occasion might have won the race it ran. And it was a competitive affair that it did. That was the horse's prosecution. He was fourth on his handicap debut at Leicester. I expected him to show improved form, which he did. And he would have done better if he saw a fair bit of daylight early on. Franny Norton tried to keep him covered up towards the back of the field, and he fought Franny as a result, but still ran on really strongly from a bad position to finish a close-up fourth, looking a certain future winner. He'll go forward this time, I think. Richard Kingscote on board is an interesting jockey booking. I don't think he's a hold-up horse per se. He made the running on a second start, for example, in maidens. And I think the reason he was held up last time out was because he was drawn high, which was not a problem for me. But he was drawn towards the outside at Leicester, and I think Franny Norton thought he might be too keen if he saw daylight. Mm-hmm. He's drawn in the middle of runners here, and he'd be able to be either tucked in behind, or indeed he could just go forward and lead these. Richard Kingscote is one of the most likely jockeys to take you to the front. And he suggested off mark 64 last time out that he would definitely be winning handicaps. So although, as you said, it looks really tough on paper, this is a thoroughly unexposed handicapper. He went into the notebook last time out.
OK. Prosecution then gets a nod for Rory in that one. Can you just spin us through your four fancies for the Monday before Royal Ascot, please, Rory?
I can indeed. We start off at Carlisle in the 6 furlong handicap, in which I'm hoping Uncle Charlie can prove it the second time of asking that he doesn't have a problem with the track. And then at Windsor, we have a trio in handicaps there, starting off in the 7.15 with Bohemian Dollar, who's been knocking on the door lately and doesn't need to improve to win. In the 7.45, Manton Grange can follow up an impressive Leicester win last time out back at a mile. And in the concluding race at 8.45, Prosecution looks ahead of his initial handicap mark and can get the better of some tough rivals.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.